Proverbs chapter 11. Ain't it good to be saved? Amen. It is a joy to be in God's house today. Let's look in verse 30. The Bible said the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. You can be seated today. Heavenly Father, help us, for we certainly need you. Save the one that might be lost. Strengthen the one that needs strength. And give us what we need from the Word of God. Touch and anoint us afresh. And save that serious nearest tail for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The past few weeks I have had questions asked and been talked to about soul winning. And so I have been very careful in that about with this message right here to not let somebody else in adding questions and thoughts put something in my mind as to preach. I've been very careful with that. But I could not escape this message this morning and about what to preach. As I sat down and began to study for Wednesday night and was looking over Wednesday stuff, and as I just a few thoughts come to my mind, and I'd scratch them out on a piece of paper, and preachers sitting in here will understand that today. If you study Sunday school or teach Sunday school, you understand. And then as the week went on, I just could not escape and that the latter part of this verse where he said, "He that winneth souls is wise." And I begin to consider this verse and some other verses, what the Bible had to say, but to win means to gain by success in competition or contest. Now, my wife will tell you, I hate to lose. It don't matter what I play at. If I'm going to play, I'm going to keep score, and I'm going to play to win. I don't want to play a game to where I can't keep score. Listen, friend, I'm going to tell you what today. I guarantee you the devil's keeping score today. And he's winning far more souls than what we are. Hey, amen. Just go ahead and say amen right there. Listen, the devil and that is taking folk and that off into hell when they die in their lost condition. Now look across the church today, and most of us are church people. Most of us are just home people. And listen today, if this church, I'll say this, if this church hopes to grow and go forward, then it's in two things. One, it's in soul winning, and two, it's in mission work. Listen, we've got to go to work. It don't work any other way. We can pray till we're blue in the face, and we need to pray. But friend, until we decide that we're going to go to work and win souls and serve Christ, then this church will not grow. Amen. Listen, I do not do my work, though, to see this church grow. I do my work because that's what I've been commanded, and that to see the Lord Jesus Christ have those added to the body of Christ. And I'll tell you this, as we go to work, and if we really want to work and win souls, the Lord will send folk along to help us do that. Amen. And if you don't think so, try him. I've seen it happen before. I know that it'll work, but there is a competition or a contest. It means to gain. Talking about winning right now. Stay with me. It means to gain by solicitation or by coercion. As you know, that we got to go out and talk to people if we hope to win them and back to Christ. I look around. Do you see sinners flooding into the church house this morning? I listened to a preacher the other day that I was preaching revival with, and he made a statement. He said, never do we see the lost come in. We've always been commanded and that to go out and win so that they might come in. Amen. And there's a lot of truth to that. It means to go out and to win, to gain by solicitation or courtship. It means to allure to kindness or compliance, as in winning your enemy by kindness. And we are in a contest this morning to win souls. It's amazing that scripture is in the Old Testament, ain't it? See, I could see that being in the New Testament, something that the Apostle Paul or Peter or James might have wrote, and that to go out and win souls. But yet Solomon, in his wisdom, told us that he that winneth souls is wise. So this morning, the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 3, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And then he said, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you, that is in you with meekness and fear. If we've got a hope inside of us, we ought to be sharing it with those that are around us. Take your Bible this morning. Here's where we're going to preach from, out of the book of 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. We find the story about some lepers over here. And in 2 Kings chapter 7, the Bible said, and Elisha said in verse 1, "Hear ye the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." You need to understand what's taking place. The enemy has laid siege in that of Samaria. They've basically got the city cut off. And there's no trade coming in and out. And they've ate all that they could eat. And they're hungry. And they need something to eat. And the enemy has got everything cut off. And then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." And you know what he was saying? He said, if God caused heaven, if God caused windows in heaven to rain all that stuff down, it still wouldn't be that way. And now notice in verse 3, "And there were four leprous men at the inner end of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die." Listen, all they had facing them was death, wasn't it? And they had one opportunity and that to live. And they said, maybe if we just go to the enemy. But you know, God had another plan, say right here. And they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, left their tents and their houses, or their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life." And let me say this, I may not get there today, but when the children of Israel go out there, those of Samaria, go out there and begin to chase the enemy, not only had they left everything in the camp, they were throwing everything out of their pockets on the way. I mean, they were cutting her loose from the horses and leaving a trail of gold down through there like you had never seen. And the Bible says, now look in verse 8, "And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. And came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. And then they said one to another, we do not well." This message has bothered me. On a personal level, because there's a lot of things I do right and a lot of things I do well, but soul winning is not one of them. And so as I sat down to study this, it bothered me tremendously to look at it. And when I come to verse 9, them lepers looked at each other and they said, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, "We come to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were." And he called to the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore, they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain which are left in the city. Behold, they are as the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. Boy, they were in bad shape, wasn't they? I mean, the horses were consumed. The people were consumed. They were literally starving to death, is what was taking place. The horses were starving to death. And they said, just let us go and see. Boy, if we could just get folks to come and see. They took therefore two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments, see, I told you, and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians, so a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel according to the word of the Lord. And you find that that's exactly what Elisha had said would happen with him. And he, now you go on and you read that when the fellow that was put in charge of the gate, which was the one that said, if God was to make windows in heaven, this thing might not be. And when they opened the gates for all the people to go in, they trod on top of him and killed him. And he said, you'll see it, but you'll not get to partake of it. But I want you to look at these lepers right here. I want you to understand something, that these men had a realization of what was taking place. They understood some things. They went in, and first of all, they had to take care of themselves, didn't they? Can I tell you that you can't tell somebody else about Christ until you come to know Him yourself? These boys were hungry, and all they were concerned about was their self at the time. They were starving to death. They were facing death. They looked around in the city, and all they could see was death. I mean, the horses were a mess. They were a mess, and they were starving to death. The people were starving to death, and they said, we've only got one opportunity, and that's to fall into the hand of the Syrians. And so they get up, and they go, and they get over there. And they look around. Now, I bet that was an eerie thing when they got over there in that camp for as far as you could see. And the Bible said they got in the uttermost part of it. And they're looking around and there's nobody over there. And the horses are tied up. And the other animals are tied up. And I mean, there's food everywhere. And there's gold and silver laying everywhere. 10 in and 10 out. But there's nobody there. And the Bible said right here that they done something. It said that the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp. And they went into one tent. And they didn't drink. And so they got full, didn't they? Imagine somebody that was hungry and thirsty, and here sets all this stuff, and all they got to do is just sit down and eat and drink. That's it. Boy, they found, you talking about finding the jackpot, they found the jackpot. Don't you feel that way when you found Christ, that you found the jackpot? I'm going to tell you, if you really realize where you were dying and going to, and what was in front of you, that death and hell and destruction, but yet He came so that we might get saved and come to where I was and save me. Hey, I got it all when I got Him this morning. And boy, you know that these old lepers, boy, when they walked in and seen everything, and there it was, and it was for the taking, and it was free on top of that. You know that had to excite them. And here they are, as I've said many times, they were loading their pockets up, not only with gold and silver, but I have no doubt they had a drumstick in one leg and a piece of a chicken in another, and here they go. The Bible said they carried 10 silver and gold, raiment, and went and hid it. And came again near and into another tent, carried things also. And went and hid it. And then said they one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If I could preach on soul winning this morning, I'd want to preach on this is a day of good tidings. Let's not hold our peace. Number one, they seemed the cause to go and tell. They got over there, and after they got themselves situated, after they realized what they had, they began to consider the people that was back in the city. You know what I do a lot of times? I lose sight of heaven. I lose sight of the Lord sometimes. But most of all, I lose sight of people. You realize that's why Christ left us here, was to be soul winners. I mean, Brother Jeff, when he started teaching this morning, I thought, my soul, he said in Matthew, for y'all that wasn't here, he taught on letting your light shine. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify thy Father which is in heaven. Listen, it's all that our works is to do, is to point to Him and show lost in the dying world that He's real, that He's the reason that we have happiness and joy on the inside, and while we have peace, I can rest of the night when the world is falling apart. There's something different about us. And them boys seen the cause. They got their belly full and their pockets full. And boy, ain't that what happened to us when we got saved? Did we not get our belly? Did we not get filled and get rich all at the same time? Did we not get heaven? Did we not get all the blessings of the Heavenly Father? Did we not get more? Hey, listen here. All they wanted was to go into this camp and get something to eat. And did they not get more than what they bargained for when they got there? Amen. I mean, they not only got something to eat, but they got all the riches, a friend, that they could handle, and more than what they could handle. There's a great type in the Scripture. And more I read this, and the more I meditated on it, the more it just jumped off the page at me. But they seen the seriousness of the situation. They remembered the city of Samaria. And they remembered that there was people that was just like them just a few hours ago sitting in that city and starving to death. And they said, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings. Can I want you to think back to when you were dying and going to hell? I want you to think back to where Jesus found you and what Christ done for you. Friend, don't you want somebody else to know about and experience what Christ done for you? What you've got now, don't you want them to have it? So here they are. Death was coming. Well, let me say this, that we're living in such a day, I don't think folk believe that. Even though there's funeral homes in every corner, there's drugstores popping up everywhere because we're sick and dying. I mean, we're the pill happiest people I've ever seen. And if the medicine works, that's great. Amen. I'm not against it. I mean, it's just that we've just got so much sickness and so much going on, and folk want to believe that they're going to live forever. They don't want to think that they're going to meet their Maker one day. Can I tell you, we're all going to meet Jesus one day. You're going to meet God. You're either going to meet Him at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment that Revelation 20 talks about. He said over in Matthew 7, then will I say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. They looked out and they began to think and they began to remember and see the cause of why they needed to go and tell. Can I tell you, there is a cause of us telling. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it is, in verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, whose image of Christ should shine unto them. He's got them blinded. He's got them deceived. He's got them thinking that everything is all right. Jesus came for them. Is that not what He said? They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let me park right here for just a minute and say there's a lot of people that wouldn't have dealt with these leprous fellers right here. And no matter how good we are, how good we think we are, We ain't no better than they were. Amen. I mean, all lost and dying and going to hell. And I know that you cannot make people get saved. I know that you can't make them come to Christ. But friend, our job is not to make them, but to tell them. What did they say right here? We do not wail. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Those four lepers could not make them come out of the city, but all they could do was go and tell the porter, say, go tell the king, this is what we found. It was up to the king and the people of that city and that whether they're going to come or not. You know that them people in that city had to have a little convincing about to come. Now, they didn't have to be convinced as hungry. They didn't have to be convinced that they were going to die where they were. What they had to be convinced of is that what them four lepers was telling them was the truth. You got to convince folk today that they're dying. You got to convince folk today that they're lost and that without Jesus. And I know it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. I understand that, but I'm going to be honest with you. When somebody gets convinced of that fact, they'll start looking for something to help their soul. We need to be there. And sometimes to convince folk, you got to show them. You got to show them, hey, here's what the Bible says. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Romans 3 said that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5 and 12 said, for as where by one man sinned in the world, death by sin, and so death placed upon all men, for all have sinned. It's them little verses. It's them simple verses. I Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He can do so much with the Word of God if we would just take it and put it out there and tell them, hey, you're lost and going to hell. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says to be saved. And let Him do the rest of the work. Amen. So all they done was come and told what they needed to tell. Are we going and telling what we need to tell? Is that not what He told Legion over in Mark 5? He said, go home and tell them what great compassion I have had on thee. Did He not go home and tell, starting in Decapolis, did He not go home and tell? I'm going to deal with that compassion here in a minute. But they realized something, the cause, the people. And they realized that there was a reckoning day coming. What they say, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. They realized there was a judgment coming. Do you realize there's a judgment coming? I mean, there's a judgment coming. We're going to answer for what we did and did not do with what Christ gave us. You remember, we read, I believe it was last week or the week before last, and that talking about the talents. Some got five, some got two, some got one. And the one that had five made five more. The one that had two made two more. But the one that had one went. I dug a hole in the earth and buried it. And the Bible said that there come a day when He come back and begin to reckon with them. You realize that the Lord is going to come back and reckon with us one day after a while. The Bible said in the book of Ezekiel chapter 33, talking about the watchman. He said, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. If we don't tell, we're going to be required. You go on and you read in Ezekiel 33, he said, go there with me and look with me in Ezekiel 33. I want to show you something. Ezekiel 33, if we don't tell, it's required. Ezekiel 33, where was that? Verse 6. Go down to verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have sent thee a watchman in the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from it. Is that not what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 1 when he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. He said, we warn every man. Warning them. I mean, Christ is coming. There is a day that you're going to meet Him. Paul says we warn them. When I say unto the wicked, verse 8, O wicked man, that thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, all we do is go and tell. We can't do the work. We can't make somebody turn from their way. We can't make somebody come to Christ. We can't do that. But all we do is just go and tell. That's all he wants. You know, that's all that these lepers done. They went and told, didn't they? They seen the cause and then they had compassion. I believe them boys sat in that tent. And they looked around at each other, and there's four of them, and they're sitting around the table. I get all this stuff in my mind. I don't know if it's right or not, but I get all this stuff in my mind. And I really do think they had a chicken leg in their hand. I do, big one too. Might have been a turkey leg. I don't know. I don't know what they got over in that part of the country. They may have birds over there. I don't even know, but they may fry up good. Amen. But they're sitting there and they've got this chicken leg in their hand and they're seeing all these riches and they look at each other and they said, we do not wait. Said, this is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. Why? Because they seen the cause and they said, we need to have compassion. You know what the word compassion means? It literally means to suffer with another or to have pity on. Y'all have heard me give you my idea of compassion. That means to look at somebody and put yourself in their shoes and what would you want somebody to do for you? And I believe them boys looked at each other and for just a split second, they remembered back just a few hours ago that they were sitting outside the gate. They were starving to death. They had no hope. They had no way of getting out of the situation they were in. By God's divine providence, listen, they end up in a tent where they can get something to eat, where they can get riches in their pocket more than they could ever imagine. And then they said, hey, we're not doing good. A some boat back in the city that was in the same shape that we were in just a few hours ago. And they begin to remember. Take your Bible and go to the book of Luke chapter 10 this morning. Talking about compassion. Is that not what Jude said? And if some have compassion, making a difference. Have compassion on them. Look in Luke 10. Most of you know this story here. Luke 10. Look in verse 30. And Jesus answering said, now talking about who is your neighbor. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. He saw him too, didn't he? And passed by on the other side. Now, let me stop right here and say that the priest and the Levite was the religious people. We understand that. They're the ones that served in the temple. The priest had done his work. He was to serve and that of the altar of God. He was also to be a teaching priest. He was to have the law of God and to instruct in the law of God. You had the Levites and that who served in the temple of God. And both these religious men, they come by and they look at this poor fellow laying in a ditch. The Bible said that he was stripped. They left him over there half dead. He was dying in his situation. And they looked at him and they left him right where he was. Let me ask you, do we do that with lost people? Do we look, hey listen, we're the religious crowd. We know what's right. We know what's been given to us. We know what's on the inside. Do we look at them and walk by and just leave them where they are?
I want you to look at what happened. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, there it is again. Now, the priest saw him, the Levite saw him, but the Samaritan saw him, and the Bible said he had compassion on him. And that Samaritan, he looked down in that ditch, and he thought to himself, if I were laying down in there like that feller, and somebody walked by, what would I want them to do for me? A lot of people don't realize they're lost. And I understand they got to get lost to get saved. I understand that. But we know they're lost. We understand that. If we were in their shoes, knowing what we know now, what would we want somebody to do for us? Would we want somebody to walk by and let us stay on the path of death and of hell, and not say a word, and let us drift on off and do our own thing, and at the end die and slip off into hell, and nobody never warned me at all? You say, well, they're not going to believe. It's not up to you to make them believe. It's not up to you to make them get saved. It's up to you to tell. But I want you to look at what the Samaritan did. He went a little beyond things. He didn't look at him and say, hey, do you know that you're dying? He said, do you know that you're down in that ditch and you're half dead? And boy, you've had a time, ain't you? The Bible said he looked at him and had compassion. And he got down there in the ditch with him. Well, there were a lot of independent Baptists are scared to death. What do you mean? I'm not telling you to get in sin to go win somebody. That's not what I'm telling you. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to go where they are to get them. Because they ain't coming in here. Look around. We're not flooded. I mean, there's so much going on today that captivates the mind and the heart and souls of people that we're competing. You know, it's called soul winning for a reason. We're trying to win them and that out of the world, out of the clutches of the devil, out of death and hell. We're trying to win them. And so that Samaritan got down there in that ditch and dug that old boy out because he had compassion on him. The Bible said he laid him on his own beast. It says, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Do you know when somebody to Christ, it may take some time and it's going to take some care and you're going to have compassion. It's one thing to walk up to somebody out of town that you don't know and hand them a tract, had a Coke machine, and spend about 2 minutes with them. And you might win them by the grace of God if He's already been working on hearts. You might reap in a field where you've not sown. And God might just allow that to happen. But you know, there's people that you're around and that I'm around day in and day out that we see on a regular basis that's going to slip off into hell. I believe that's where God wants us to start at. Is to start at our home, start in our family, start with our friends, start with our neighbors. Knock on their door. I live right there. You may not know who I am, and my neighbors know who I am. I mean, they know who I am. And chances are your neighbors know who you are too. Go invite them to church. I use an invitation to church to open the door. I do. I'll be honest with you. Say, I ain't the way to do it. It works well for me, so I work with it. Whatever works, man. You know, the Bible said, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves, you know. So I'll talk to somebody about church for a little while. And you know, when they find out I pastor a church, that sometimes hurts me and sometimes it helps me. Sometimes when they find out I'm pastor, nobody wants nothing to do with you. You got to play. He's here to try to get me saved. I know that's why he's here.
And so they already put up a front. But sometimes that leads to questions also. So when you go knock on the door, just say, we're just out visiting. Just want to invite you to church. And by the way, just want to know if you know that you're going to heaven. I like that question. Because you get a myriad of answers for that thing. I like to do that over to nursing home. And boy, I can find out real quick whether they know they're saved or not. Do you know you're going to heaven? Oh, yes, preacher, I know I'm going. How do you know you're going? Because I trusted Christ Jesus to come into my heart. Boy, when they say that and give me a plain testimony and out of salvation, I just let it go and leave it alone. But boy, when they can't give me that plain testimony, then I want to work a little more. Compassion. You know, one fellow said one time about salvation, getting saved, and soul winning. Is that one owe more than one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread? And I find that so true. So true. The only difference between us and them is we have found Christ, and He saved. He told Legion, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Ain't you glad the Lord had compassion on you? Should we not go and do the same to others? You go and look in Matthew. I want you to turn with me. I wasn't going to read this, but I want you to go with me to Matthew 18. I'll get back to the message here. Matthew 18. If we're not careful, this is us here. Matthew 18, verse 23. Peter's asking him about forgiveness. And Peter said, how many times do I forgive? He said, seven. He had to be an independent Baptist man, I'm telling you. And Jesus, in verse 22, said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times. Peter, make it a big number. Make it astronomical that you forgive. And then he teaches us about forgiveness right here, but we learn something. Make it unlimited, Peter. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. Always a reckoning day, ain't it? And when he had begun to reckon, there he has, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. Years ago, I looked that up, and I've got that pinned out in the side of my Bible that 10,000 talents was like 120 million days of labor. It was astronomical. It could not be repaid. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with, what does your Bible say, compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Is that not what Christ done to us? Simply because he wanted to have compassion on us. He loosed us, made us free, and forgave us of the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, it's 100 days of labor. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. And he would not. And you read on, and he went and throwed him in the debtor's prison until it could be paid. And his servants, fellow servants, seen what happened and went and told the king. And the king said in verse 32, then his Lord, after they had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. Now look here, because thou desirest me. He said, you asked me to forgive you of that debt. And then you turn around and go and do the same thing, opposite, and would not let them free. We can't save them, but we need to go tell them. Go back to the book of 2 Kings.
We need compassion. Compassion. Should we not have compassion? Number three, lies. Look at the conversation they have. They sit there and they talk between themselves. And they said, we need to go and tell. We're having a conversation this morning. I'm telling you, we need to go and tell. We need to be concerned to have compassion. Concern is one of my biggest problems. Not being concerned. Folk are around us slipping off into hell. And it seems like that I walk through this world unconcerned. These lepers were unconcerned to start with. But they began to have a conversation between one another. And they said, we do not well. This day of a good tidings. And we hold our peace. So you know what they done? They went out and they told the king's house. Then they had a conversation with the people. Can I tell you, we need to go out and have a conversation with the people. If you're going to win them, you're going to have to take a little time to stop and talk to somebody and hand out a tract. Let me say this, that tract can do more than what you and I ever could do. Because it'll lay in that house, it'll lay in that home, and people will look at that. And I'm pretty sure, I know somebody went over here and visited these folks. They sat right here the other day. They went over and they visited and left them a tract that has all our stuff on the front of it that talks about Sunday school and worship. And what I understand is that little boy wanted to know what Sunday school was and what worship was. Never been in church. It's amazing why people come to church, ain't it? Think about that for just a minute. I want to know what Sunday school and what worship was. I got a preacher friend of mine. He got saved because he went to a Christmas program because there was no food in the house, but he knew that they would have goodbyes at the end of the Christmas program. And in the middle of that thing, he got under conviction and got saved. And God called him to preach after. But we need to go out and tell. Is there no way he told Legion to go home and tell? I want you to notice these people were standoffish at first. They went and told, didn't they? And they said, don't know about things. But you know what? They finally come to a place where they realized that they really didn't have anything to lose. All they were going to lose was their hunger. They were going to lose their thirst, their unhappiness, their worry. Death was facing them. And if we can get folk to understand that all they've got to lose are those things and nothing else, friend, I believe they'd come. But notice last of all, the lepers went to where they were and told them. But then they had to go to where the prize. We go and tell, but they've got to come to Christ. They've got to. It's not us that does the saving. And you've got to get folk to understand that. Hey, it's not what I say or what I do or the work that I've done or the work that I will do that will save me or keep me saved. But it's that I come to Christ. You've got to go to where He is. He comes to you, and then you go to Him. Ain't that amazing? Kind of like that prodigal son. He got started on his way home. And when the father saw him, he ran and met him. I remember the night that I got saved. I don't really remember the trip. I remember rounding the corner up here at the front of the church. That's about what I remember. I remember stepping out and I remember rounding the corner coming to the altar. But you know what? Christ met me back there in the back of that church. He met me back there and led me all the way to the altar so that I might get saved. They said, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. If we tarry till morning light, till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and what? Tell. All the Lord wants out of us is to tell. Just to tell. Let's bow our heads this morning. Have you been telling? Jacob gets a little music. So. Have you been telling? I wasn't wanting to beat up on us this morning, but I'm going to tell you. I struggle so much with soul winning.
Very important. Right now is a very important time. I want you to pay attention to me. Keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you've never been saved, I want you to come and get saved this morning. If Christ is dealing with your heart, if Jesus is speaking to you and knocking on your heart, He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice," He said, "and open the door," He said, "I'll come in and sup with him and he with me." You know, one of the conversations we have to have is not only this morning and not only with the people, but we need to take them before God. Say, "Lord, I don't know how to handle this situation. I'll do my part, Lord. But I need you to help me. I need you to help me to have boldness and courage to go and tell." That may be you this morning. Your neighbor's dying and going to hell. Friends that you work with dying and going to hell. Do you spend time in prayer for them? When's the last time you prayed for somebody lost? Handed out a tract. Wanted to win somebody and that to Christ. Your family and friends. Folks slipping off into eternity. How about your neighbor? You need to come pray. You want to come pray for them? We're holding our peace. We're holding our peace. See, people will think we're crazy. Hey, they thought them lepers were crazy too until they got over to that camp and seen exactly what was going on. And when they got over there, they realized that them lepers was telling the truth the whole time. You may not be able to convince everybody. And God ain't going to be able. He's able. He won't save everybody because not everybody will come to Him. But church, it's not our position to make them come. It's our position to go and tell. Go and tell what Christ done for you. Is that not what He told Legion? He said, "Preacher, how am I supposed to tell somebody that's living in sin when I got saved at 8 years old? Go tell them. Here's what Christ done for me. He saved me. And give me happiness and joy on the inside. He can do the same for you." If you need to come and pray, I want you to come. Some's praying.